I'm going through round two of this mizmar, very important mizmar. That it's a very important. Michal, welcome back, Michal. Welcome. Shalom aleichem.
Thank you.
Absence was felt and sensed very much. Okay, so let's review. Building mizmar tezayin. Mizmar tezayin is the mizmar that it is very common to be recited at a funeral. And it deals with the neshama. We learned yesterday with Michtam Lezavit, we did this in the first Rashi. The first Rashi, we're on page 118. We actually did not have the list for the Rashi.
Pasuk Aleph.
We went through the Mitzudais, we spent time discussing a couple of things, and now we're going through it again with the Rashis. Michtam Lezavit, Shemeni Kelki Chasisivach. Michtam, we spent so much time on the word Michtam. We learned yesterday Rashi at length. We'll go further. Shamreni kelki chasisi vach, guard me, because I have taken refuge in you. I seek shelter. Many of these words are very hard to translate in English, because you know what does it mean exactly? Chasisi is the shelter, refuge.
Machaseh,
like a shelter, bomb shelter. You take shelter in Hashem, like in a sukkah. The sukkah gilcha mitzel a sukkah. It protects you from the cold, from the sleet, from the sun. Okay, when it says ki chasisi
vach,
ashrei kol hachosim vach, all those who take shelter in you. Right, that's similar to this passage. Guard me ki akel ki chasisi vach. Rashi v'hayoloi ke'atarosh v'emar Hashem katsina. Hashem is a tzina rotzoin, a shield of favor, ta'atre Hashem, kama, katzina rotzoin ta'atrenu. Hashem will crown you like a shield of will. That's a very bizarre expression, pardon the expression.
I don't know.
The word chasisi vach, you were my crown. A crown, I guess a helmet. Think about a helmet. You know, a helmet, you can buy a boring helmet that's just, you know, the beer material. And then you buy something that's nice, that not only does it serve as protection, it also adds beauty. Okay, I'm going to take care of that. Okay, I got it. Okay, we got it.
How did you translate that scene?
When a person wears a hat, what's the purpose of wearing a hat? It protects you from the rain, from the heat. It shelters you from the elements. And then you can buy a hat for $5. You can go to the 99-cent store and buy a hat for a cap for 99 cents. Or you can go to Bencraft and buy a hat for $350. And both of these hats serve the same function. They serve the same thing. So when the person is going to a big event, he's going to go buy the hat. I don't know why he's going to spend all that crazy money on the hat.
Has MAGA printed on it?
$350 to go buy a Borsellino, and you can buy in the 99 cent store, you can buy a MAGA hat for 99 cents. Right?
Rashi Goy called the previous pasuk that he said,
also, he said the same thing. Michtam is also, it's true, right?
The translation here is refuge.
Refuge. Okay, so Rashi, that's the symbol translation that we have all over Tanakh. In the Mitzudas Dov, in the Mitzudas Sion, what did he say? He didn't say anything. He didn't say. He just said that it's He didn't even translate this, and there's no Mitzudas David. The Malbim, who the Malbim, does the Malbim say anything on these words? No, he doesn't say. He does not say a translation word Chasisi. Chasisi just we always usually translate to mean that a refuge, a shelter, protection. Rashi here is very unusual. Rashi, the previous, as Rav Kalman said, in the previous word michtam David, Rashi also there says that it means that crown. But there, the michtam we learned in the other mafarshim, it means gold. So when you say the word gold, it's a gold crown. Typically, when we think of a king that wears a gold crown, the crown doesn't provide any protection. It's nothing more than an ornament. And in fact, the crown, you know, it's just, we discussed last week with the Kohen Gadol, the crown that a person wears, it just goes around his head. And in the center, it's exposed. And we actually discussed this with regard to Kohen Gadol. We learned the Ramban said that the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol left his head exposed. His head was exposed, and And on the part of the head that was exposed after he wore the mitznefes, they poured the shemen hamishcha. So we found that to be very bizarre, because we expect that when you go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you cover your head. A person should cover his head so that he should be Yorei Shemayim. But we had that whole discussion last week that not necessarily when it came to the Big Kahuna were their heads covered. And here, we're talking about a crown, so it's seemingly, if you're referring to seek refuge, a person needs to shelter his head from the rain, from the heat, from the elements, you would think that it should be completely covered. Completely covered. When you talk about a crown does not cover your head. A crown just is worn around your head as an ornament, but the head is partially exposed. And here it says, Rashi, I am seeking refuge in you. Hashem was like me as a crown, Shnemar. Hashem, Katsina, Rotsoin Ta'atreni. Atsina means a shield, and the word Ta'atreni means a crown. The two together mean that it is a type of crown which shelters the person. I don't know, it's something which needs really more clarification what this means. Is there any of the freshmen over here? I didn't pay attention to this in my preparation of a crown. You know, I didn't really see anything that drew my attention to explain why is Rashi here describing the crown, the chasisi as a crown. I guess as Rav Kalman said, you cannot deny the fact that this expression ki chasisi vach is part of the beginning of the pasuk of michtam. And if michtam, according to Rashi, is a crown, then we have no choice but to say that this the end of the pasuk where it says ki chasisi vach is a continuation of that crown. In other words, when we read this pasuk simply, the word ki chasisi vach refers to the entire body. David is saying, guard me because I have taken my entire being, my body, my feet, my arms, my legs, my body, my personality, my existence, and I've taken everything that I have in this world, and I've taken it to your shelter, to the shelter of Hashem. Hashem protects me. But the Rashi doesn't seem to say that. Rashi says David's body and David's possessions are somewhere else. And what is David taking into the shelter? What it says in this very pasuk, the michtam. Michtam l'David. If the word michtam means a crown, it means gold. It's a certain type of gold that was used for a crown. And David is saying, I have taken refuge in you. It means my head. I've taken a small portion of my body, and this I put a crown upon this part of my body, and this part of my body is now seeking shelter in you. What about the rest of my being? Hey, that's another story. I don't know. Let's go further. What is the
Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the atara of David. The atara. Ki chasiti ba.
Yeah, but he's going back to the michtam.
Ve'hayah lo ka'atara.
Yeah, but he's.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is atara lemoshe.
Right, I'm taking your lead because when it says you said dover acher. Right, in the previous Dibra Masla, or the line above that, in the word Michtam Dabrachar, Michtam David, Lashon Atara. So you said very good, you cannot deny the fact that in Rashi it says that the Michtam is an Atara. And then when it says, Ki Chasi Sivach, V'hoyuloi Ka Atara, so Rashi is connecting the end of the Pasuk to the beginning of the Pasuk. And in the beginning of the Pasuk, indeed he says the word that it means an Atara. Look in the Sifsei Zekainim. Now, this is again, just, you know, he's just going back on what we said. Forget about it. We're going back on the other interpretation. It means a musical instrument. All right. What are we going to say in the Targum? Look at the Targum. The Targum says, a little bit different than the Targum. The Targum says, Gilifa Siritza L'David. I don't even know what that means. A Gilifa Siritza L'David Nitar Yossi. You have guarded me. Elikon Mitul Disaboris. The word Disaboris means hope.
Hope.
Kivisi Hashem. We say in davening, and we say that it translates it, hope. The saburis bimemroch, in your words, I have hoped. Ki chosisi is a yearning of hope, which is very different than what we've been saying according to the Rashi, according to the simple translation. All right, let's go further. I don't know more. Amart, la amart, you shall say. David now is addressing his neshama, and David is giving instructions, he's giving a command. You shall say la Hashem concerning for regarding Hashem, Hashem Ota, that you are my master. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. David is commanding his neshama. I want to tell you something regarding Hashem. I want you, the neshama, to declare to the Lord that He is your master. Rashi, Amart La Hashem, it's a command. You shall say regarding the Lord, Hashem Ota. L'chneses Yisrael Amar David. Okay, so here Rashi is coming to disagree with what we learned until now. I told you that David is addressing his neshama. Rashi disagrees. Rashi learns that David is addressing Klal Yisrael, Knesses Yisrael. L'chneses Yisrael Amar David. Yesh Olayich, it is your duty, Loimar, to say La Hashem, to say to Hashem, or to say regarding Hashem, Odoin Ata, you are our master. V'yodcha alhuel yoyne l'chol habo olai, and you are the boss. Whatever happens in this world, it's your decision, it's your power. Everything that trickles down to this world is through your decision and your power.
Your hand is uppermost. You have the hand.
The uppermost hand.
Yeah.
You are in charge.
The upper hand.
The upper hand. You are, which is an expression, which means right. That you're in charge. You're the boss. Mm-hmm. All for the boss. Okay, that's his first interpretation. Dover Acher, Amar LaHashem, Hashem Ota, Linavshe. This is what it said in the Mitzudas. Rashi now over here is telling us the same idea that it said in the Mitzudas David. David is speaking. He's giving a command to his neshama. Lenavsho hayo emer. The chayin motzina d'gma. So we find another example. Vatachal David upisroinoi. Vatachal nefesh David. There it's later on. That is in Besor Shmuel Beis. And David finished. And what does it mean there? In that pasuk, vatachal. There it refers that his neshama. His neshama concluded. It means he prayed. And then he finished praying. Okay, whatever it means in that context. Afkan amart nafshi laHashem. Amart. You shall say, Nafshi, he's commanding his neshama what the neshama should declare to Hashem, at Nafshi, you, my neshama, yesh olaych, it is your duty, loymar kain, to say so, leha kodosh baruch hu. Notice over here that neshama, this is a very big topic of conversation when it comes to writing matzevas. I remember Menachem Sperling, you do matzevas, you write matzevas, nuschois? So is the word neshama feminine or masculine?
Feminine.
Feminine, right? So generally, what's the truth? The truth is it can be both. It's you, because sometimes you can say the neshama hatohira, or neshama hatohar, or you say zuchusa or zuchusoi. I mean, then you have to, it depends on the context. But the word neshama, I always, if you look at matzevas, you will see both. You'll definitely see that sometimes the word neshama is used in the feminine form and sometimes it is used in the masculine form. And it seems that both are correct. It seems that it's like 50-50, even distribution, no equity, no discrimination. And it doesn't matter if a person is a male or a female, even male. Some when you refer to a male's neshama, it's written in the feminine form sometimes. And a woman, when you describe her neshama, you will find in certain contexts it's written in the masculine form. So the word neshama is a word which can go both ways. Notice that in this pasuk, Rashi makes it very clear at and amart. Okay, amart. It doesn't say amarta. It says amart. We describe the neshama in the feminine form. And usually what it says in Tanakh is the bottom line. You cannot argue with what it says. When you have a word, and the word in Tanakh is clearly defined in a certain way, I mean, that's what more are you going to say? It's over. You know, there are exceptions. I mean, I remember a person very will not let up on this. Just I don't know what got into him. The word tefillah. How do you spell the word tefillah? I think on the art scroll sidur. I think on the cover even it says even the word sidur, the word tefillah. Well, guess what? In Tanakh, the word tefillah is spelled three times. The word tefillah appears in Nacht three times. Tefillah le David. Thank you very much. Okay, here it says Sidur. So I was thinking about another word, Sidur here, so there's no yod in the word Sidur. And how do you spell tefillah? In Tanakh, it is spelled without a yod. Yet, if you go all over the world, you'll see the word tefillah is spelled with a yod, with a yod. So, and then I remember, they're very upset. They're very upset with me. They asked me to proofread a nusach for a mantle on a Sefer Torah. And one of the names, a lot of names, was Pinchas. And it was spelled without a yod. I don't know if it was my mistake or actually I did it right and the person who laid it out, he left out the yud. And they were very upset. What happened to the yud? Pinchas must be spelled with a yud. It's not so simple. Sometimes in the Torah it's spelled with a yud, sometimes it's spelled without a yud. There's an inconsistency in how it's spelled in the Torah, with a yud, without a yud. And therefore, that's the bottom line. So here you have an example of the tense, the word neshama. Here it says at, amart.
Other words like that, you have Yushalayim sometimes with the.
Oh, so Yushalayim in Tanakh is always spelled without yud. Always. The only time is in the Megillas Esther. In Megillas Esther, could be there's another exception. I remember that in Megillas Esther, could be there's somewhere else that's spelled with a yud. But generally, Yushalayim is spelled in Tanakh without a yud. In Megillas Esther, it's mole. And therefore, with a yud, we always spell it with a yud. Today, the trend is to add yuds. Today, even the professionals, the trend is in order just to make it clear as to what you mean to say. There should not be confusion. You break a couple of rules and you pad words with extra yuds and extra vavs, even though it's not grammatically not precise. But that's the trend, and even the biggest experts do that. They add a lot of yuds into words in order to clarify. Well, look in the Gemara. The Gemara adds even two yuds. Okay, it's two yuds because there was no nekudos in the Gemara. There was no nekudos. The printers could not add nekudos. So in order to clarify certain words, not to make mistakes, they actually added an extra oraisa. How do you spell oraisa? Is the Torah oy aleph vav resh. It's in the Gemara, it always has two yuds. Oy raisa, oy aleph vav resh, yud, yud, saf.
In the Megillah, it's a shad with Yehudim with.
Oh, that's a special drash. That's a separate issue. That's a separate issue. How do you, that word. But oy raisa, in the art school, Sidur, oy raisa, will only have matter of fact, in all of the Sidurim, there's only going to be one yud. Why? Because in all of our Siddurim we have dots, we have nekudos. The Department of Transport of DOT, the Department of Transportation has given its haskama. The DOT has given its haskama on the Siddurim, and there are dots. So therefore, there are dots. There's no need to put two yuds in the word oiraisa because there's a dot indicating oi rai that the reish is a patach.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a pronunciation.
Right. So exactly. Right. So that. It's because we have nekudos. We're able to make it clearer. We don't have to have extra letters. When there are no nekudos, sometimes in order to clarify what the correct pronunciation should be, without dots, they add extra letters.
Yiddish
is rampant. Yiddish is a lot of letters, a lot of words also for expression. Okay, but going back over here, this is an interesting over here. Let's get back to the Rashi. The Rashi is David after Amar.
David is also spelled like one
yud. Oh, David. So that's in the Tanakh. So in the Tanakh, there are a handful of times where David is spelled Molech. What about Aaron? There's in our text in Chumash. Aaron is always spelled, believe it or not, today, you take out a Sefer Torah, it is always spelled without a Vav. Aleph, Hey, Reish, Nun. However, according to the Mesorah, there is one place where Aaron is supposed to be spelled Moleh, and that was last week's Parsha, Parshas Tetzaveh. By the inauguration of the Mishkan, by Yismoich Aaron Ubanov es Yodov, they did smicha on the Ayil Hasheni. To inaugurate the Mishkan, they brought a par as a carbon chatos and two elim, two rams as a carbon oila. And they did smicha on the Ayil. And it says, Vayismech Aroin Ubanov. According to the Mesorah, that is the only Aroin that should be spelled in the Torah Mole. And this Torah, why is this Aaron Mole and all of the other Aaron Zachaser? I don't know, they have all these different interesting ideas. However, if you take up any Sefer Torah today, this was part of the inauguration, right? During the Shiva Simeon, but it was only a one-time karma. It was a one-time karma, but I think it was only on the first day.
So I'm saying,
so there he's Molly. I'm saying very good. He's saying he's inauguration, so he's in full glory. He's in his, you're right, excellent. It's Aaron is now in his full glory, and therefore today is his day, because he is the Kohen Gadol, it is his bias, he is in charge, he's in his full glory, his name is spelled Mole. This is the Mesorah. We go look at the Mesorah, Agedoyla, Mesorah Katana, the two different Mesorahs, is Mole. Yet, if you open up any Sefer Torah, the whole Klal Yisrael today, you're not going to find that. You're going to find that it's Choser. So how do we reconcile the Minag Yisrael and what it says explicitly in the Mesorah that it's supposed to be Mole? I don't know. Tough question. Who knows the answer to these questions? It says in the Mesorah, Aaron, in Parshas Tetzaveh, in Vayismech Aaron Banaveh Sudei Malo Ayil, it's supposed to be spelled Mole, and yet open up the Sefer Torah, it's Choser. Aaron is always chaser. Okay, these are all very difficult questions. But in any event, these are serious matters. And here we have a very important Rashi. And Rashi is telling us, Rashi is Mamad. No, you can't argue with the Rashi. Rashi is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. And he writes here, Davra Acher, Amar LaHashem. We said this before from the Mitzudais. And so you'll say the Mitzudais is saying that Jewish, where did the Mitzudais take it from? Mitzudais took everything that he says from other Mefarshim, Pashas. He doesn't seem to be saying, he doesn't say his chidushim, it seems. But Rashi is the Makar, and Rashi says the Mesorah. And over here, by the way, it's in brackets. I don't know what the brackets are all about over here, these funny, squiggly lines over here. What exactly, I never saw this in any of the R School other editions, why they put in these type of brackets, a less than sign, a greater than sign, has become a bracket. They ordinarily would put a bracket, but Davracha, it seems to indicate that this was in the later edition. Somebody, it's not necessarily authentic. Where did this come from? Who put this in? And if it's not authentic, it's a very big nafkamina. And why is it nafkamina? Because here the Rashi is telling us grammar. He's telling us Amar is a feminine. It's a command to a female. You are commanding a female and telling her to do something. And if you're going to learn that the command is being said to the neshama, that is an indication that the word neshama is feminine. So every time a person writes about the neshama, it has to be written with l'shoyim dekeva. Ha neshama ha tohoira. Elokai neshama shenasat bi tohoira hi.
What's the question?
It doesn't say tohor hu. It says tohoira hi. It doesn't say tohor hu.
What's the question? Neshama has a kamas hey at the end, so naturally it's feminine.
Not necessarily. See, if it's part of the shoyresh, If the neshama, those letters capture its essence, it's not a vowel, it's not a suffix, it's essence. then it can also be a zohar.
In the plural, it's always in the feminine.
Okay. Go to the cemetery. Go to the cemetery and look at the matzevos and see.
When we talk about neshamos, we never talk about.
Nishamim. We don't say nishamim. Nishamois. We don't say nishamim. Excellent. It's true. You're right. It's true. So here is another example. Amart. It is a command to a female. Not amarta, but amart. And it says.
And by the way, it's the same with Shechina.
Okay. The Shechina is also. You're right. The Shechina is. L'cho doidi l'kraskala. See, it's very complicated. Mitzad echad. Mitzad echad, the relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the relationship of a zohar and a keva. Hashem is the zohar, he is the chosan, and we are the kala. Mitzad sheni, the shechina is always referred to as a kala. L'cha dodi likras kala. Pnei Shabbos the Kabbalah. The shechina is b'ma'arav, is on the west. The shechina represents the shechina of Shabbos. It's the shechina. And it's the feminine. So it's multi-dimensional. It's it's multi-dimensional. When it comes to Shabbos, it's almost as with the chosan, and Shabbos is the kala. Yet, throughout Chazal, Hashem is the chosan, and we are the kala. Hashem says, where is your sefer krisus? Did I ever give you a bill of divorce? The pasuk clearly indicates that Hashem is the male, and we are the female. Okay, there are different examples. People always ask this question, is God a zohar or a mikveh? So the answer is both. The answer is Hashem is echad.
That is a dangerous question.
In this generation, to the 2022 generation, you go back 25 years ago, that was an innocent question. Okay, so the answer is, well, it's a very valid question, because eze sefer krisus, Hashem is called kasher yisa ha'imein es hayoinik. There are numerous memory chazal and psukim where Kodesh Baruch Hu, from the pasuk, the way the pasuk is expressed, Hashem compares himself to a mother. Hashem compares himself, the Shechina is a kala, the matronisa. We found on Tisha B'Av, a woman appeared to Yirmiyahu Hanavi, dressed as a beautiful woman, disheveled, in black. This was the Shechina. There are numerous Namari Chazal where you find that Kodesh Baruch Hu is expressed in many different ways as a female. Mitzad Sheni, you find many different examples that Kodesh Baruch Hu is a chosan. By Matan Torah, the entire rabbinic literature is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chosan, and we are the kala. All of the minhagim that we do at a wedding come from Matan Torah. And in Matan Torah, the metaphor is Hashem is the chosan, and we are the kala. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a multi-dimensional relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're dealing with the neshama. The neshama also captures those elements.
Avinu Malkeinu,
the Nusach HaTfilah, Avinu Malkeinu, exactly. So there are many different things of it. So here we deal with the neshama. The neshama is also, it's multidimensional. And there are indications that the neshama is a zohar, and there are indications that the neshama of a person is referred to as a feminine, as in the keva. Elu v'elu. It's multidimensional. David Acher, this passage.
When you're talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu Shabbos, does that kind of be talking in a womanly way, a lachman way? Avinu Malkeinu is a din type of a.
Avinu Malkeinu, Rachem Aleinu, the Kabel Brachamim Verotzon. You say Rachamim, they're also by a father. In fact, Chazal is a simple question: who has more Rachmanis, a mother or a father?
Mother.
So it's not so simple. This is a big topic of discussion. There are indications that it's just the opposite, that the father has more Rachmanis. Obviously, you can't generalize. Every situation you see, look at different families, everyone, but on a general. If you try to generalize, Chazal seem to indicate that a father has more rachamim on a child than a mother. It's a little shocking, right?
Yeah.
It's a little shocking.
Mother has more empathy.
Okay, so you're saying you're coming to define, you're coming to break it down into its parts. There's empathy, there's mercy, there is kindness. You want to break it down, this concept. Okay, in Echanami, it's not so simple. Okay, in any event.
On the other hand, it could be considered a ridiculous question because. Druggedness is a zakar and a kefa, and is a sheet of very if they outspell. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is not physical. He's
exactly.
Not the male and not the female. It's a ridiculous question, really.
Okay,
it's
in a but yet, but the order.
The
100% one of the animamans, yeah, absolutely. So. But we cannot ignore the fact that when we relate to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Nusach HaTfilah. Avinu Malkeinu.
You
don't say.
You know, is the question, the point of
in the feminine, in masculine form. Look, there's a very big dilemma among the Gedolei Yisrael, a woman sitter. So a man says, Modeh ani lefanecha melechar dekeh. Okay, that's just the first word. So what does a woman say? Does a woman say Modeh or Modo? Modeh ani lefanecha. So this is a very big machlokes. You'll be shocked when the Rav Shlomen Zalman Arbach Zeichet Tzach Levracha from the biggest Gedolei Yisrael who was accepted by everyone. He held that a woman, girls, should daven in the feminine form. You have to be careful. We're getting weird. And he said a woman should say Modo Ani Lefonecha. They should have a different sort of Modo Ani. Many of the Gedolei Yisrael strongly disagreed. They strongly disagreed. They held no. There's one nusach. It's true, it's not grammatically correct for a woman. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's one standard nusach, And if you want to go on, if you want to delve deeper, when you're davening, exactly this topic, when you're davening, this is a contradiction. We're saying when a person davenes, who's davening? Who is davening? Your guf is davening or your neshama is davening? What element of your being is praying to Hashem? So you can argue that it's your spiritual component. A woman's spiritual component, theoretically, can be a zohar. Not we're talking about unhealthy things. I'm talking about, ignore this Rashi, ignore this concept that over here, that in this pasuk that we're calling the neshama, we're describing the neshama in the feminine form. But let's say we take the other approach, that the neshama is masculine. When a woman davens, she can also daven b'loshen zohar, because it's not her body that's davening to Hashem. And nechanami, when you want to talk about a woman's body, you want to talk about a woman in halacha. Okay, a woman in halacha, there's something called a zohar, and there's something called an akeva. And when you want to follow the halacha, the world of halacha, then you have to be grammatically correct in the feminine form. When you're davening, the guf is not davening. The neshama is davening. And there's no difference between the neshama of a male and a female, generally speaking. There's no difference. Therefore, the same way this is the nusach of a male, when a male's neshama davens to Hashem, so when a female, when she davens, she's not her physical body, her halachic status is not what's praying to Hashem. Her essence, her neshama is davening to Hashem. And it's gender neutral. It's gender neutral. The neshama is gender neutral.
When they're saying women have more spiritual than men, what's
that? That's a different topic. That's another topic. But let's just talk about the grammar. The grammar, there's a chiluke deus among the Gedolei Yisrael.
In the figure, they once asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, not exactly this, but to change the nusach.
Shloya sani shifcha. Shloya sani goya.
So he answered, you should not.
That's by a bracha. So that's by a bracha. But yeah, that's also a big topic of can you make change the nusach of the bracha? The nusach.
Any tefillah.
There are certain brachas you can't tamper. There are certain things like asher, if you only tevil one utensil, asher kiddushana b'mitzvayis b'mitzvayis al tevilas kli
or
tevilas kelim. Kelim, but let's say it's only one. So do you say kelim or do you say tevilas kli? Do you change the nusach? Do you manipulate the nusach when you're dealing with a unique situation? So the chiluke deos, there are different opinions. There are different opinions. Do we say that the nusach is sacred? You don't tamper with it, even though in this particular situation it's not grammatically correct. Doesn't matter. Do not tamper with the template. Or no, brachos can be at times under rabbinical guidance can be customized to fit. Do you say there's a woman who says birchas hashachar every morning? Does she say shlo asani goya, or does she say shlo asani goy? Does it say Shloya Sani Oved or does it say Shloya Sani Shifcha?
Do you say
Hamokim and
Achim
Eschem
or different
notions? Hamokim and Achim, I suppose one of them you say Eschen, Eschen, you say whatever, okay, you have to go through all the grammar. They're going to test you and all this stuff.
That's always Eschem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is included.
Right.
So now you're going to get to Drush.
That's no problem.
Oh, so now, but now, really you, now you see, you're coming, you're touching on another topic. You're coming on another, because now you're saying that what does it really mean? Hashem includes. So that may be good when it comes to Hamokim Yinachim Eschem, but what about when it comes to Tzvilas Kelim? Someone will come up with some B'nai Yisoschar, some Hasidish of art, that there's a Kli Lamata, a Kli Lamala. You know what I mean? There's a base Hamigdash Shalmata, Shalmaila. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? Everything can be interpreted in many different ways. All right, let's go for it. I didn't mean to go so far. It's just important we have to point out over here. This is a sticky point. This is something which in the past I had some run-ins with some, so I got into trouble with this. And therefore, that's why it touched my heart, my neshama, this concept. Amar l'Hashem Adon, Hashem Ota, l'navsha, I mean the fourth line down on page 120. L'navsha yihoye oimer. This is what it said in the Mesudas David. Then that context near in Shmuel refers to his neshama. He's speaking to his about his neshama. But the story about how nefesh David Afkan amart nafshi la Hashem at You, nafshi, yesh olayich. It is your obligation. It is your duty. It is your duty, loymar kein lehakadosh baruch hu, to say this to Hashem, that you are my master. Then he goes on to say, toivasi balalecha, toivas sha'ata oisali, loy olecha heim ligom leini. This is exactly what's in the Mrs. David. David is saying that the Tel Neshama has to declare to Hashem that everything that you have done for me, all of the kindness, all of my success, I do not deserve. It is not your duty, Hashem, to give me blessing. I don't deserve it. And all the blessing that I've received, the next words, L'akidoshim asher baretz heima, b'shvil hakidoshim asher heima, kivurim baretz. Rashi over here, it's a word that did not say in the Mitzudas. When we learn this pasuk, we translated this to mean that David is saying, Hashem, I don't deserve anything. I'm undeserving of your kindness. And why then do I have a good life? It's because it's in the zuchus of all of the people, the good people. All of the good people living in this world, the tzaddikim that live in this world, in their merit, Hashem sends down a shefa. He bestows blessing upon this world, and it trickles down to me. It trickles down to me. I'm part of society. If the tzaddikim, they need a society that is functioning well. So I take freebies. I'm eating off the fat of the land. The land has to be blessed for the tzaddikim. I'm part of the scenery. So the male, I also benefit. Like Chazal say, that sometimes Hashem really wants to destroy the world, but Hashem realized that it's not fair because the animals don't deserve to be punished. The animals did not do anything wrong. So if Hashem will destroy the world, so what's going to do with the animals? They didn't sin. It's not their fault. But there are times when the animals are there for it. Therefore, men sometimes live in the merit of the animals. Because the animals don't deserve to be punished, Hashem provides, lets man also live just because, so that the animals should not have to suffer. That's an extreme example. But here David is saying exactly the same thing, that the reason why I have this benefit is because of the tzaddikim. Now, when we read the Mitzvot David, we were referring to the living that are alive, the tzaddikim that are alive right now. The Adirei Haaretz are the Yirei Shemayim, who are alive right now. Rashi differs with the Mitzvot and says, Zuchus Ovens. The people right now, maybe some of them are, maybe there's no one today that's a tzaddik that deserves anything more than David. But my predecessors, my avos, zuchus avos, they were such great tzaddikim, their credit is still good. We're still living off the fat of the land in the merit of the people who are no longer alive, in their merit. Literally, that's what Aretz specifies the dead, that the kedoshim asher bo'aretz, in the ground. They're underground. Mitzudah says, who says they have to be underground? Lakidoshim asher are living. I guess the base doesn't, the base boretz. It should say Lakidoshim asher al haaretz. Lakidoshim shel haaretz. Whatever, the base, Rashi did not like the base, and the base forced Rashi, it seems, to refer to the dead. Zichus ovois. Beshvil Hakidoshim asher behemo kivurim boretz. Asher hishalchu lufanach be'emes. Here's the word be'emes, they went before you with truth. Va'adirei kol cheftzi bam heim ho adirim asher kol cheftzi v'chol tzorchai. They are the mighty asher kol cheftzi, my desires v'chol tzorchai na'asim bishvilam, are done in their merit because of them. Okay, the Mitzudos was similar, a little more elaborate. The Mitzudos says the adirei are the yirei shemayim. Rashi is saying the adirei are the kedoshim. Hey, Mo'adirim. Rashi is saying is the Kedoshim are the Adirim. The Mitzudos broke up these two terms. There are the Kedoshim and there are the Adirim. Two different categories. Holy people and people who fear Hashem. Okay, you'll ask me, what's the difference? I don't know. But Rashi is saying they're one and the same, and it's only because of them. You know, the grammar here, it's a little difficult. The grammar is the Adirei, you put a comma, kol cheftzi. It's a hard translation. All of the things that I want to make me happy, and which you, Hashem, have given me, you have satisfied me with things that I want, it's vam. It's only in their merit. Naasim, they are done bishvilam, because of them. If I'm translating this correctly.
I wonder why Rashi is saying bishvil. It's not bishvil, it's not for them. It's bishut.
It's in this, you're right. So that's what bothers me also. Let's look at the mitzudos again. Maybe what I'm saying is incorrect. I'm trying to push into Rashi what the mitzudos said. Look at the mitzudos again. The mitzudos says, lakidoshim, hikani. David is telling his neshama, humble yourself. Oid. Oh, look at this. Maybe I said totally wrong. Maybe I said the mitzudos right. Lakidoshim, hikani od leho anashim hakadosh ma'asherim ba'aretz. I did not tell you the right pshat in the mitzudas. It seems that there's a whole different world here is going on with Rashi and the mitzudas. Mitzudas is saying that David is addressing his neshama. He's saying to his neshama, neshama, humble yourself before Hashem. Number one. Number two, humble yourself before the kedoshim. Number three, humble yourself before the Adirim. According to the Mitzudos, David is instructing his neshama three instructions. Humble yourself before Hashem, before the Kedoshim who are alive now, and before the Yirei Shemayim. Why? Because before Hashem is Pashut, because Hashem is the master, because Hashem is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. What about the Adirim and the Yirei Shemayim? It's only because of them you have a good life. It's only in their merit. Ba'ali, all of the desires that have come to me have come bizkusam. Rashi appears to disagree. Rashi says there's only one instruction. Number one is, neshama, humble yourself for Hashem. Then he says, Hashem, you owe me nothing. And the only reason why I have blessing is because of the merit of the zchus of the kedoshim, asher ba'aretz and the adirim, and then perhaps what he's saying is, my activities in this world are for what purpose? It's to satisfy them. You know, you're here to serve Hashem, not here to serve human people who died, but you're carrying on their legacy. There is a loyalty, perhaps. Look at again the Rashi. Hey Ma'adidim, Asher Kol Chefsi Bam, V'chol Tzirachai, all of my needs, Na'asim, are done for their sake. I don't know what this means. It's a little bit disturbing. Well, that obviously, I have a good life because of that. And therefore, it's my duty to serve you, Hashem, in order to satisfy them also, because this is what they wanted. They wanted to leave over a family, a legacy, children and grandchildren to go in the ways of Hashem. It's their nachas. So all of the success that I have in this world is only to continue their legacy. There's an incredible loyalty here to one's ancestors. But let's go further. Maybe we'll become clear. We go even more. Next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet is a major shift. David now is addressing the wicked. So here he first addressed his ancestors. And now he's addressing Yibu Atzvaysam. May their sadness increase. Kol ze imru laHashem. David again is addressing his neshama, telling his neshama, I want you to say the following to Hashem. Yirbu atzvaysam shel kaifim. Neshama, pray to Hashem that the wicked, those who deny you, shall be sad. They shall suffer. Yirbu atzvaysam shel kaifim b'cho. Hamhirim v'charedim la'avodas el acher. Okay, so we go back to what we learned 2 days ago. 2 days ago, yesterday, we learned what the moharu means. According to the mitzudos, a gift. El acher is an idol. Moharu is mohar. Mohar yim harenu. Give her a gift. Mohar is a gift. According to Rashi, that's not what it means. The word mohoru comes from the word maher. This week's parsha. In this week's parsha, Hashem's lech reid maher. Descend quickly. The people have created in Egel Hazav. So it says, Acher Moharu, people who are swift to offer sacrifices to idols. Kol ze Omroi, Lashem Yibrat Svesam, Shal Kaifim Bechah, Mahir Bacharedim Lavodis El Acher, Lashon Acher Moharu, Lashon Mohar, which means a gift. Ramachal, maybe you can help us with this old French word.
Okay. Moharu, an expression of mohar, dowry or duer, just similar to dowry.
A dowry, okay. Marriage, a marriage term. Dowry is they give a dowry according to the parish of the Mitzvah. Those who learn the word moharu means a gift. It's interesting that we're describing a very unique type of gift, a gift of a kala to a chosan. That's the type of gift. That's its parasha. Kichalois Moshe. What did Rashi say? Like a kala. Hashem gave Moshe Torah knowledge as a gift. It was impossible for a human being to absorb the infinite amount of knowledge that Moshe received in the mountain for 40 days. And Hashem gave all of that knowledge to Moshe as a gift. He just downloaded it into his brain like a gift that a kala gives a chassan. A kala gives a chassan money. It would take the chassan a lifetime to accumulate that amount of money. And here she, the kala, kala's father gives a significant amount of money to the chassan that he doesn't deserve in a moment. So that's called a moha. A mohar is like what a kala gives a chassan, and here we're using exactly that term. Now it's interesting over here, when we talk about over here, according to Rashi, Rashi over here says that it's people who chase after idols swiftly. I was actually talking to someone yesterday. He has a child out of state, and they go to a certain secular type of a program. And they're familiar with this program. It was always a very normal, totally not Jewish, normal, you know, they have values, they believe in God, and it was a very well-run program. And suddenly, they shifted to, they went woke. Mm. They went woke with critical race theory and total crazy, crazy things. So it's not a chiddush. You live in America. What do you expect? But this person that was telling me what's going on there, he said to me over and over again, I cannot believe how fast, the speed of how they've demolished all of the values that only a year ago were basic principles in this program. And there's a very big, and with such speed, overnight.
The internet, I told you that.
Overnight, they ripped down the values that have been in place there for generation, generations, for decades. And how they've destroyed the program with garbage. And again, like overnight, how do you destroy something so quickly? How do you rip down things that are, you know, basic principles of values of life and respect? And basic understanding of education, overnight they've taken on it like their minds have been brainwashed. The whole administration, the whole board, and the curriculum and what they're doing and the programs, it's shocking the speed. So you'd read this pasuk 20 years ago, and you would say, Yibru atzvaisam acher moharu. And you look at Rashi, the people that are very quick, Yibru atzvaisam shel koifrim b'cho, hamhirim, they're very quick. V'charedim, chored, now chored is a different type of word. Chored means you're afraid, but it also has a connotation of like swiftness. La'avodas el acher, that's part of kefirah. Kefirah works very quickly. You see that today. You see that today that overnight, in this country, overnight, it's just like, wow. A change of belief. And a lot of this stuff, if you really pay attention, comes from kefirah. A denial of the value of God. You know, you take a poll, how many people still want on the dollar bill that should say, in God we trust? You'd be shocked. It's like the majority of the country has no interest that it should say. I mean, it depends who you ask, I guess. All these polls are also, you know, everything, you can't believe anything today, everything they can't believe. It's like, God? God? What God? We are in control of our destiny. There is no room for error. We have full control. We are, there's no room for Hashem in this. It's and it comes with such a swiftness, and you've got to be careful not to get caught up in it, not to get in its way. It just runs through society. It totally, you know, David HaMelech over here is revealing the human condition. People who go woke, they go woke very quickly. Acher is woke. Acher mohoru, swift. Watch out, it could happen overnight. David then says, Baal asich nischeyem midam. And when we learn this in the Mitzudos, it meant one thing only, blood. I commit myself not to participate in offering sacrifices where you collect the blood and you pour the blood in honor of the Avodah Zarah. There's two words. There's asich and there is nischeyem. Nischeyem, according to the Mitzudos, means a pouring of blood. Asich means I will not. I will. When you hear the word Baal, means Baal Asich. I will not engage in the activity of pouring. Niskehem, pouring, means the same thing. Midam, a pouring of blood. It's a poetic expression which repeats the word Nisicha twice. I will not engage in the activity of pouring blood of a sacrifice in honor of an idol. That's how Rashi learned, Mitzudas learned this passage. That we get a little bit confused because when we hear the word nisicha, we think about libations, wine libations, pouring yayin. We don't associate blood with nisach. There's no such thing as nisach adam. There's zrikas adam, and there is nisinas adam, and there is hazoas adam, there's shvichas adam. There are many different terms that the Torah used to describe the application of blood in the Mizbech. Shvicha, to pour. What is the only carbon which you pour the blood? The primary chelik of the blood. Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is called Shvicha. Most kibbutzim is called Hazah. What is Hazah? What's Hazah? You hold a container of blood and you go like this. I don't want to demonstrate. And you go like this and you splash. You splash the blood. Is that called Zrika? That is called Zrika Hazah. That's called Zrika Sadam. Yeah, that's called Zrika. Zrika is you throw it, you hold it in your hand, the cup, and you throw the cup, and the blood splatters on the corners of the Mizbech. Then it's called Nisina Sadam. You do that with the carbon chatas. You dip your finger into the blood, and you very delicately put the blood on the corner of the Mizbech, on the Kronos. And then the leftover blood, you go downstairs, the leftover blood, you go to the base and you pour the rest of the blood, the shofach. But that's not the primary blood, that's the shirayim. That is the shirayim. And then there is the hazah. Hazah is where you go and you dip your finger into the blood and you sprinkle it, you throw it towards the paroiches, towards the kapoires, the paroiches, and you do it also on the surface of the mizbeach. So there's hazah with your finger, you're throwing it with your finger towards the pareches, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the surface of the Mizbeach, hazahav. And then there is called Nisina Sadam, where you dip your finger in the blood and you very delicately put the blood, you put the blood on the corner of the Mizbeach. And then there is Zrika Sadam, where you take a utensil and you throw it, and it splashes. And then there is Shefichah Sadam, where you take the rest of the blood, you pour it very delicately on the foundation. So we have four different words for the application of blood. Hazah, Nisina, Zrika, Shvicha. Four different words. Do you ever find in the Torah, Nisuch, Hadam? No way. No such thing. There's no such thing in the Torah as taking blood, and the term Nisuch does not exist in Chazal in Tanakh regarding blood to offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It does not exist. Where then do you have the word nisuch? Two other places. Yayin and mayim. And by the way, they go together. Because you cannot drink time chazal. Wine cannot be consumed in its raw state. You have to dilute yayin with mayim. You don't. When you want to go look at nisuch hamayim, what is nisuch hamayim on Sukkot?
I'd rather be. No, it's not good.
What is?
What is nisuch hamayim
on Sukkot? What you're really doing is you're being machshir all of the nisuch hayayin of the entire year. The mizbeach and the mizbeach, there are two events when you do nisuch. Twice you do nisuch. You do nisuch on the yayin and you do nisuch on mayim. Yayin and mayim are interrelated because you cannot consume raw wine, pure wine. It's too strong. It's not edible. You cannot consume it. You need to dilute it with water. So the entire year. We pour wine on the Mizbeach. All that wine we pour on the Mizbeach cannot be consumed by Hashem, Kaviyoch. You have to dilute it. When do you do the dilution? Sukkos. The Nisuch Hamayim of Sukkos is what activates the Nisuch Hayayin of the entire year. Chag HaSukkos is the gemar of the Sholosh Regalim. Sholosh, you start, Sholosh Pam Hashanah, it concludes all of the yayin that has been put on the Mizbeach since the last Sukkos has now become edible, is now ready for, is now being served to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of the yayin you bring on the Mizbeach is just a hachana for the future. Sukkos, no, Shmini Atzeres is represents Olam Haba. It's now the meal is ready to be served. Now the Yayin, the Mishta Yayin, the Yayin is ready to be served. It's very important when it comes to Purim, because Purim is a Mishta Yayin. There's a lot to be said about water and wine on Purim. But going back over here to this term, it's a very important term. The Mitzudas David tells us the word asich niskehem midam refers to one thing only, blood. And this is an incredible revelation about the contrast between karbonos to Hashem and karbonos to Avodah Zarah. By Avodah Zarah, they do nisuch hadam. They take blood and they pour blood to their idol. They also pour wine to their idol. That we know. How do we know that? Because if a guy touches wine, then wine is undrinkable. Now that it's a yayin esach. You now let it touch ariyamazeh. If you have yayin that's not on the volition, the guy touches it ariyamazeh. You're finished. And there's a very big problem. What about an irreligious Jew? You invite an irreligious Jew to your home, and you have on the table yayin that it's not on the volition, and an irreligious Jew touches that bottle of wine.
Or just picking it up?
What?
If you could touch the bottle of wine.
I don't remember the halachas. It's a very complicated halachas. I don't remember if you're watching him. There are a lot of heterim. There are many heterim to be makel in these matters, especially if you're watching him. I don't remember. I honestly forgot what it was. But we're focusing now on the terminology. Again, when it comes to kabbalas, there are four terms: hazah, zrika, nesina, shvicha. You don't ever have the word nisuch. Nisuch is for mayim and yayim. And the reason why you need these two words are to go together because wine needs to be diluted with water so that it can be consumable. By the goyim, we discover here in Tehillim from all places, there's something called nisuch adam. And the Mitzudah says, we repeat the word twice, asich niskem midam. David says, Baal, I will never do that. I will never participate in these practices. Rashi is now going to come to disagree with the Mitzudas. Rashi says, Baal asich nisken midam, ani lo eye kemaisam, lizroik, don't know, he doesn't disagree. I'm thinking about the Radak, maybe. I'm thinking about another Mepharish. So far we're good. So far we're safe. But keep this in mind. Rashi is like the Mitzudas, ani lo eye kemaisam, lizroik, dam, to throw blood la avoydezara v'loy esa shem avoydezara al sifasai. I will never mention the name of avoydezara on my lips. Again, the mitzvah stuff, when he said the same thing, it's about avloy ezrek dam la avoydezara kumayim v'avloy eskashma mitzvah. The same exact thing. Everything here refers to blood. It's remarkable the term of that is used by avoydezara. By us is never used, but instead it is transferred to Yain, and we'll see it another time soon. Another time, not today. Some of the Farshim, what they say about this, another Mahalach, which is a very revealing about Nisuch Hayayin, what Nisuch Hayayin is all about. Some really interesting stuff. Let's go to the next pasuk. Now over here it's about Esra al Shemaisim al Sifosai. We know that today there's a minda. You don't call Yosh. You don't call him Jay. Jews for J. You don't say the J. Okay? You can say it, okay? You can say it, no big deal. People say it all the time. But for some reason, Hanach lohem li Yisrael in Einam Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im, in the Chadorim, in the Tinoiko Shol Beshraban, in Yeshiva Ketana, when they refer to him, to Oisai Ho'ish, they don't refer to him by the same word that is used by the Goyim. They don't say the J word. They don't say the J word. They have other words. Yoizo. Yoizo.
In Hebrew, you can't do that anyway.
Okay, they call him whatever they call him. They have many different names.
You can't use the J word in Hebrew anyway. Only in English.
What do you mean?
There's no J.
Okay, whatever it is. It is what it is. They don't refer to him the way the guy referred to him, and they call him. They have everyone has their own different vocabulary as they refer to him. Okay, so in any event, that's where does it come from? Where does this minhag come from? Not to call Avodah Zarah by its name. This pasuk. This is the makar. Uval esa al eshmoisam al sifosai. David HaMelech over here is saying, I don't even say the word. There's such a degree of sensitivity to not go in the ways of the Goyim and follow their customs and their beliefs, their ideology, not even to say the name of their gods and their this and their that. When it comes to Islam, we don't find people being so Mahmi. They say Muhammad. You always see people saying Muhammad. What?
Mohammed was the Nabi.
A prophet, so he's not a god, and Yashka is a god. You have to know theology. The Christianity is that Yashka is mamish a god, and Mohammed is just a prophet.
I heard that long ago there were people who wouldn't say a name, who wouldn't say something like St. Louis, or, you know, they would say Street Louis.
Interesting, right. So you can't live.
Of course, up in Rochester, you have the St. Regis Show, which is very prone, by the way. So, hey, that's how it is.
Okay. Satmar. Right, excellent. Satmar, St. Mary. Satmar.
Well, that's a classic.
Okay, Satmar is St. Mary.
Santa Maria.
Supposedly, the Satmar of Yoel Teitelbaum, he didn't say Satmar. He said Satmar. Because of this posture, because of this idea. Supposedly, I don't know if it's true, what they say. He always said Satmar.
But Satmar itself is already a change. They use one.
But it's still very close. Satmar is Saint, yeah, well, Saint
and
Mary.
It's not other places
the syllables. Yeah. The syllables are there. Yeah. Saint Mary. So he says Satmar. Is that really true? I don't know if it's really true. But this is what they say. This is what they say. Where does it come from? Yeah?
By many Hasidim, they won't call a girl Miriam. They're called Mariam.
Mariam.
Instead of Miriam.
Mary. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Interesting.
So there's no Mary, but by Swan, there is Mary.
I don't know. Somewhere in those five books that we have, it says Miriam. But
somewhere it says Miriam. Okay, these are extreme measures. But there's something to it, and there are many examples. There are many examples like this. Many examples, and it comes from this pasuk about Esa Eshemais Mal Sefosai. Let's just read a little bit more. Next pasuk, Hashem Minos Chelki V'Chaisi Ata Tamich Garoli. Rashi, Hashem Minos Chelki Kol Tavasi Heimenu. All of my blessings come from Hashem. All of my blessings, in other words, over here, David was saying, Hashem, I don't deserve anything. He said, Tavasi Baal Olecha. I don't deserve it. But I still acknowledge that you gave it to me. I acknowledge where it came from. all of my blessings over here. We have many different terms. Many different terms to describe a person's blessings. Kol tovasi alimenu loshen acher. All of mechelki, the portion of chelki v'chaysi. Kol tovasi alimenu. All of these words are words which connote blessing. L'shoin acher v'chaysi v'cheshboini. My calculation. K'moy tochaysu al set to count. V'chein chibu ben achein. So what does it mean then? What does it mean? Hashem, you are the portion of my chalki, v'choisi, my calculation. How do you understand that? How do you understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu is, he's my accountant. He's my calculation. He's my accountant. I count him. What does that mean exactly? The accumulation? I really don't know. V'choisi v'cheshboini. He is my calculation. K'moy tochosu, you shall be counted in. When it comes to a Korban Pesach, you have to be part of the count. This
or
animal...
My share.
Okay, you're my share, but my share, but that's the first interpretation. The first interpretation is Koisi means like my cup. I have a cup of wine. It's an expression. There's a chelek, there's a cup, there's a goyrol, there's a nachala, there is a chavolim. We had five or six expressions to describe the same exact thing. My blessing, my lat is my blessing, my cup of wine. These are expressions. But Rashi here is telling us another interpretation. That's not what it means. It means a calculation. Hashem, you are part of my cheshbonos. I mean, what does that mean exactly? It means that in my life, when I have to make decisions, you are part of the equation. Is that what it means? I'm making a decision now. Should I move to Jackson or should I move to Muncie? Should I move to Florida? Should I move to Eretz Yisrael?
But you use the term, I'll put it on my cheshbon.
It's on my account. So what do you mean? That means, so a person, where should I go? Where should I move? Should I go to Jackson? Should I go to Florida?
That's not on my
cheshbon. So what's the cheshbon? Well, what are the issues? So the issues are, where's the weather nice? Where do I pay less really taxes? Where are the better restaurants? Where am I going to get paid more?
It's going on to that pros and cons list.
Right. So therefore, you ask a regular person. You ask a guy. Okay, you have a choice. You got to get out of New York for whatever the reason is. They want you out of here. You got a choice. So where should you go? Well, let me see where I can get a better job. Where will I have more opportunity to make more money? Where will the weather be better? I can't live in a cold environment. I have to live in a warm environment. Where is it a better environment for me? Where are there better doctors? Where is there better health care? I have cheshbonos. Let me ask you, is God part of your cheshbon? Is it part of your calculation? Sure. Where will your children have a better chinuch?
That's part of the cheshbon.
Well, that's the question. Is it part of your calculation where you'll have better shiurim, where you'll have better, you'll be in an environment of Yirah Shamayim, of real Yirah Shamayim? Is that part of your calculation in your life decisions? So you'd be surprised, there's some very religious Jews that's not a part of the calculation. I'm going to go wherever I'm going to go, because I want to go to this place, and then we'll figure out everything else later on.
They can't find a shul and they can't find a school.
So I like Florida. Florida's very nice. I hear there's a nice Jewish community. I'll go there. Because there I'll make more money. There I'll have more opportunity. The weather is nicer. It's better health. It's better this. And then you go. And then you look around. What about your ruchnius? What about your chaverim? What about your hashemayim? What about opportunities of your hashemayim for your children? Oh, I didn't think about that. And I'll just have to make do with the best that we got. So Hashem was not part of your calculation. Other people, just the opposite. Okay, we have to leave this place, for whatever the reasons are. Okay, where can I find the right schools for my children? My children, they need a yeshiva that will serve them well in the hashkafa that I want them to grow up in. Where in Florida is there such a school that will cater to my children's ruchnius needs? Will it be better in Jackson? Will it be better in Muncie? Will it be better in Eretz Yisrael? Where? Is Hashem part of your calculation? Perhaps that's what it means. According to the first interpretation, it means, this is my blessing, my nachas in life. I have a pension. Oh, Hashem, it's only because of you I have a pension. Hashem is koisi. Hashem is chelki. Hashem is my goyim. Hashem is my nachala. So the word koisi, according to this, means this is part of the package, the blessing package of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi dover acher, no, Hashem, you are my portion, the choisi, you're part of my calculation. Whenever I need to make a decision in life, the calculation, the priorities that go into the equation, that go into my calculation, my decision of what I should do is you, Hashem. You're the primary factor that I consider in making a decision. That's what I'm trying to suggest in according to Rashi. You're part of the equation when I make a decision. So the word tochoisu means calculation. By the Korban Pesach, this animal can only have 10 kizesim. For Korban Pesach, every member that's going to join the Korban eats a kizayis. How many kizesim does this animal have? It weighs 20 pounds. We can get out of the animal 10 kizesim. Just think of numbers. Okay? Who's going to be included in the calculation? We need 10 people to join this group. Who's part of the calculation? That's what it means in the Korban Pesach.
I think he's using the shtei midot. Hashem menat kosi, u'menat retzi, u'menat chelki, u'menat kosi. He's using midat halach and midat hayavesh. Menat chelki is
hayavesh. Okay, that's Avi. Right,
so,
that's
Avi. So he's borrowing the language.
He's borrowing the language. This
Hashem
is poetic.
Is
this, that's the first shot. Right, that's the first shot. The first shot, we have how many words? We have five, six words. There's the word chelek, the word kais, the word goyol, the word chevel, the word and the word nachala. Right? So all of these words are just different words describing a portion of something in this world. Land, adavar lach, adavar yodesh, and a person in life, bini, chaye, mezoine, you have stock options, you have a pension plan, you have a job, you have a wife, you have children, you have this. David, everything that I have in my life, it's only from you, Hashem. That's the pshuta shel mikra. That is Rashi's first interpretation. But then Rashi says, no, that's not the only interpretation. The word koisi does not refer to an asset. The word koisi doesn't mean something tangible. According to the first interpretation, we're dealing with assets. I have a diversified portfolio. I have all different types of assets in my life. According to Rashi's interpretation, no, we're describing an action, or a description of an action, or a detail of an action. Koisi means calculation. What does the word calculation have to do with anything here in this pasuk? I don't know. I am suggesting that what Rashi means, Hashem, you are my portion in life, and therefore, v'choisi, you are part of my calculation in every decision I make in life. When I make
Kosi Ribbon.
That's another pasuk. It doesn't necessarily have to be the same interpretation
which
there.
Which sounds like the portion.
Okay.
The portion granted me overflow. Right?
Well, obviously the word kois means a cup. It means a cup of liquid. And also, you cannot deny the fact that it says by the Korban Pesach, it says tochoisu alaseh, and there the word does not mean in any way a cup. There it means a calculation. So now we have a word in a unique form, vichoisi, juxtaposed to the word chelki, and we're trying to decipher what does it mean in this context. Does it mean an asset, a cup of liquid, a cup of wine, of a precious liquid, or does it mean calculation? So Rashi is presenting us two different opinions. If it does mean calculation, what does it mean? What does it mean in the Pshut Shel Mikra? So I'm trying to suggest that what it means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means that Hashem is a factor in your life. When you need to make a decision, He is included in your decision. Okay, we're going to stop now, take a short break. After break, one thing about saying this parsha, the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. This week's parsha after the Egel, Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim.